Wild Talk Radio Network.
This show contains adult content and is brought to you by the letter H.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G.
This is Eric Bischoff.
I'm Austin Aries.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Lock your doors, bolt your windows, and turn off the lights.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
All right, I'll stay with you tonight. Just on the chance that you're right.
The Omega.
He's gonna get you. Heartbreak
Mike. And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Every kid in Haddonfield thinks his place is haunted.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Let's make more popcorn.
WTR Sunday Night.
Since when did they let them wander around?
Astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's the Hell in a Cell post-pay-per-view recap and review show. We witnessed history.
The Cubs are in the World Series. Yes, we are witnessing history.
What?
Thank you very much. This part... You know, if they had actually lost this game by now, I would have had a much funnier intro.
I know.
But they're actually ahead, so I'm also not upset about that.
It's all the sports ball all the time. I have two screens now going. I had three. Thankfully, the pay-per-view ended.
You know what it's like to be on ESPN now. Right? Try to filter everything at the same time.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh. Too much in 3 hours. Oh, my God. Anyway, intro, people.
Yeah, that's too much sports ball. Time for actual wrestling. I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
Oh, my God, that match.
Yeah, that was a good tag match, wasn't it?
Moist.
Greatest tag match in the history of tag matches on a pay-per-view by a Raw brand.
Absolutely.
Specifically by a Raw brand.
In this iteration of the Raw brand. Yes, yes, yes. We know what Mike's going on about. We will get to that. But we also have with us the one and only Tim Stein.
He shoots, he scores. It's a touch goal.
Run.
On a field down. In a run at home. No?
I was trying to sports ball too hard.
I'm mixing and matching. We got football, hockey, baseball, wrestling. What else? I'm sure somebody someplace is playing tiddlywinks.
Dude.
No one plays tiddlywinks anymore.
All right. The point of the game is to catch the ball. Catch the ball. Anyway.
Catch this ball. Hey, everybody, good evening. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is the Hell in a Shell. Hell in a Shell?
Hell in a Shell?
It must have been held with turtles. Hell in a Cell pay-per-view review show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, www.wildtalkradio.com. If you're listening anywhere else in the World Wide Web, head on over to wildtalkradio.com. Get into the chat room. Get interactive. We'll talk with you in the chat room while we talk to you over the webcast.
Oh, and if you want pictures of turtles, go to @TJOmega on the Twitter.
Yeah, I have turtles.
You were just like in the middle of typing that when he said it, weren't you?
No. What I was typing was Hell in a Shell, the name of my spicy clam recipe.
Hell in a Shell spicy. Hey, that's like Cajun clams?
Yeah, but that's like an actual name, so I have to come up with an own name.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Coming to a future TJOmega.org project down the line. Very.
How many projects have you got on the go, and how many more are you going to fire up simultaneously? Oh, my God. Do you ever sleep, young man?
Sleep?
Yeah, enjoy it now because you're going to be wanting to take three-hour-long naps in about 10 years.
He wants to take three-hour-long naps now.
Every 5 minutes.
You are describing what I am like now. The difference now is I can still resist the urge.
Well, okay, basically what I'm stating is that you're not going to be able to resist the urge. Your defenses will break down. So will your willpower and your resistance. All your base will belong to us.
Holy oh, God, now you are old.
Yeah.
Oh, now he's old? Okay.
Oh, what? This is, yeah, in breaking
that's,
news.
That's internet old. That's like the oldest of internet old jokes.
Yeah. And in other breaking news, the sky's blue during the daytime when the sun's out.
All your base. God. Not heard that in so long.
There you go. So, yeah, that was the thing tonight. We had a pay-per-view, Hell in the Cell, brought to you by Raw 2K16. Download now. And play as Goldberg. Wait, that's
17.
Yeah. Did I say 2K16?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, okay, 2K17 released in 2K16.
That's how that works.
All of his bases because they don't belong to you.
Go to youtube.com/recreationshow for all WWE 2K17 content 5 days a week.
There you go. Yeah, don't forget everybody, the week of every single pay-per-view, you can tune into the Wild Talk Radio Network and watch Rock's playthrough of the upcoming pay-per-view, basically sims every pay-per-view. How did the sim go this time around?
We'll find out when we do the pick'em results if someone actually sends us the results.
I got the results. Didn't you get the results?
I haven't checked my email yet.
Oh, check your email. I think you have the results.
Okay.
There you go.
I've been busy watching sports ball.
So I was working today, which is now a regular thing every single Sunday until I quit and get a different job, which hopefully will be soon. Who caught the pre-show? Rock.
They did flippy stuff. Guys wore purple that blended into the purple ropes.
Basically, it was a six-man cruiserweight tag match that was on the pre-show. Mike Omega, did you guys get a chance to watch this too?
Unfortunately, no. I had a run to the grocery store during this one.
Okay.
I don't want to discuss.
So, okay, Mike is thinking up excuses.
He was jerking off.
So it was Cedric Alexander, Lindsay Dorado, and Sin Cara taking on Drew Gulak, a.k.a. the Coke Guy, as you hear on the Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tony Nese and Daivari, his brother. Not the one we knew as Sean Daivari, the other Daivari.
Not Sean, but the other one.
The other one. So, yeah, it was a match. The team Sin Cara was wearing purple, and it really did blend into the ropes. It was not the smartest idea. Just throwing that out there. Good finish, though. Everyone hits their big spots. Team Sin Cara won.
Yay!
See, I paid attention to it.
Okay. Yeah, told us what happened. Was it any good? Was it worth watching?
It was better than the Cruiserweight match on the pay-per-view.
The pay-per-view Cruiserweight match? Yeah, we'll be talking about that in a bit, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Talk about really damaging your Cruiserweight division even before the match begins.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. So I want to point something out. To anyone who actually saw the pre-show, if you saw the segment with the New Day, are we sure they're baby faces?
Okay, you're going to have to expand on that.
They picked on Tom Phillips for like 7 minutes straight, or it felt like 7 minutes straight, maybe like three or four, but it's like, it felt like they were just being dick heels. I don't know. That's the way it felt like to me. Just
so comedic heels?
Yeah, very comedic heels, yes, but they're being dicks.
So they were faces.
There's nothing wrong with being dicks if you're baby faces. Every now and then, that's going to happen because,
I'm just asking,
you know, so much dickish shit happens to you as a baby face. Once in a blue moon, you got to dish it back out.
Yes, but usually when you're a baby face, you actually get serious for a minute if they never got serious. That's all. It was just a question. That's all. I'm posing it to the people if they actually saw the pre-show.
I wouldn't say that New Day is being heelish. I just think they're being dickish. There's a difference. There really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, The Rock. Okay, The Rock had his favorite whipping boy in the backstage interviews too.
He did.
And that was?
The name is escaping me right now.
Kevin.
I can't believe. Kevin. I can't remember.
Between
Kevin Kelly.
Kevin Kelly and the coach. The two of them. But no, but he would.
He also picked on Michael Cole.
He did. Everyone picked on Michael Cole. But the point was, he would eventually get serious. That was my point. There's a
if
difference.
You smell what The Rock is cooking.
No, but he would cut the serious promo. He'd make his joke against the guy, but there was no seriousness in it. That's all. Well, I was, you know, I watched
like, I wouldn't call them, like, yeah, and stuff like that, I'd call them dickish. Honestly, like, I have seen, like, elements of the old heel New Day creeping back in. A lot more outside interference and playing the three-man advantage more often.
Because, to be fair, they never got the full... They never did a turn.
No. They just kind of stopped insulting the crowd. That's about the only difference.
Yeah. That's about it. That's all they did. So you're seeing more of the dickishness come out of them. The phrasing won't work, but anyway. There's something... I paid attention to the pre-show. I told Tim I would pay attention to the pre-show, so I did.
Because I couldn't.
Because he couldn't, so... Anyway, there you go. That's my thoughts on the pre-show.
Awesome. Okay, well, that's the pre-show out of the way. Now for the main event. Wait a minute. It's the opening match. No, it's one of the three main events of the... Well, how can you have a main event at the opening of the match, WWE?
It's
a triple main event. Why? Because we got three matches inside Hell in a Cell. No. Oh, my God.
Because we couldn't decide which one we wanted to put as the main event, so we went triple main event.
We just called all the main events so we could choose at the last minute.
There you go. Well, apparently it's almost like they did for the actual main event, the final. According to inside sources, it was last night, meaning last minute, that they decided to put the women's match last instead of the WWE Universal Title match.
It's called.
Isn't that right, Mr. Inside Source?
It's called someone talked Vince McMahon into doing it.
It's called someone drugged Vince and just did it anyway.
They upped his pain meds for the torn quads.
It's called, woo, Vince, I've got a great idea. Put my daughter in last because she deserves it. She's as good as I am. Woo!
Trish Stratus is backstage wheeling him around in a wheelchair.
That's cruel punishment.
Shut up.
That's cruel. That's cruel punishment to a pregnant lady.
That's not funny.
By the way, Cubs win. Cubs win.
Yay.
Cubs win. The World Series is extended to at least November.
Yep.
The Cubs are playing in November. Holy shit.
The Cubs are going to baseball WrestleMania.
The Cubs are in baseball WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's a best of seven series. It's like Sheamus and Cesaro, except good.
We've passed.
No, no. It's like Sheamus and Cesaro, except you can expect to actually have a winner.
It's Sheamus versus Cesaro with actual hope involved.
So somebody John Cena versus Booker T, U.S. title.
That's your go-to? Okay.
Nah. Wow.
It's like went to Booker T and John Cena. Okay.
The good days.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Congratulations to the New York Cubs. Wait for it.
So it was Roman Reigns versus Rusev for the U.S. title inside Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, well, I'm not even going to touch it. Fuck it. Let's just go into the Hell in a Cell U.S. title match.
Roman I see Reigns what you're doing. Fuck you.
Going to power through it. Move on.
Wow, the reaction when Roman Reigns came out.
Are we surprised?
No. Are we ever surprised?
I got such a laugh out of Roman's reactions from the crowd for this one. At one point early in the match, they were chanting, "Let's go, Rusev. Rusev sucks."
Yep.
It was like, we're not even going, like, we can't even be asked to actually boo you, Roman. We're just
going
to have a dueling chant for your opponent.
It's kind of funny. It really was. Oh, my goodness. The match itself, there was nothing wrong with the match. It wasn't a bad match. It wasn't like star-studded, five-star knockdown dragout. But it was entertaining and enjoyable.
I liked how early on it was less in-ring, and they made good use of the cell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought they got really physical. I liked how they pointed out, look at the laceration. There you go, sack him. On the arm of Rusev. And, yeah, I thought they played up the physicality of Cell very well. They brought out a chain for some reason, because why not? Start choking Roman with it, Rusev.
Yeah.
I thought they used these steps very well. There was a nice spot where Roman was tied in the ropes, and then Rusev beat on him with the stick.
And how did Roman get out of that? Oh my God, here comes Roman Reigns! What the hell?
Yeah, I didn't like that, though. Go ahead, Michael.
I was going to say, at one point, like, Michael Cole actually, like, points out that he's going to try to get the accolade on top of the stairs locked in. Like, you're pointing that out. Why? I'm still confused as to what that actually does to the hold to make it somehow stronger.
It hurts the knees because your knees are now in stacked steel.
Okay, so instead of hard plywood.
The plywood's padded.
So are their knees. It's not a big difference.
Well, what do they call it? Galvanized steel, and it's got the little corrugated bumps and stuff like that on it, so it'll dig in.
Someone said, well, it's colder than the mat, so they'll want to get out faster.
Yeah, that's going to do it.
Oh, no, 10 degrees cooler.
My goodness. It's not the temperature of the steps. What it is the visual idea, and that's all it is.
I know. I get the same, like, annoyance when they put someone in a submission on the announce table. Like, that hurts worse. It's like, it only hurts worse if Michael Cole's still talking in proximity.
That's the only thing that hurts about it is Michael Cole's voice. Ba-dum-bum. Oh, well. Yeah, no, the match itself was good. Of course, Roman Reigns retaining the U.S. title. We got a few different chants. I don't recall hearing, let's go Roman sucks, but I do remember hearing USA, USA. So, you know, it's nice that the title got a chant. Right?
The general country we live in. The general country we live in.
The title for it. Yeah. So, yeah. No, I don't know. I think we've reacted to this match. The next one up on the night. Bayley versus Dana Brooke. And, of course, Dana Brooke last week smacking Bayley around and, like, for the last couple of weeks, doing damage to Bayley's shoulder, and that was exacerbated by an absolutely hated, not enjoyed, one single bit arm wrestling match last Monday night on Raw.
My God. Has an arm wrestling segment ever gone over well on wrestling?
Not even in the movie Over the Top.
It's baffling. Like, the audience in this match didn't give a shit.
No.
Because there's no reason to. Because Bayley, who we know as like the winner of the only women's Iron Man match in WWE history, is being billed up as this barely scraping by underdog.
Yeah.
You know, meanwhile, everyone knows Dana's shit.
She needs a whole hell of a lot of seasonings. Please send her back to developmental, not even NXT. God.
Yeah, like, They pulled her. I realized today, like, I had to look it up. She was only in NXT for a year.
Yeah.
Before they just kind of dragged her up for no reason whatsoever.
Can't help but wonder why.
Vince, not Vince, Triple H likes her.
Triple H likes her.
Ooh. Well, yeah. Well, a couple weeks ago, she completely fucked the finish of a match and made Bayley look weak. The match was anticlimactic, and she couldn't get her job done right. So, God. Mm.
Trying to put her foot on the rope, turns out that her leg was too short.
Yeah, well, she pushed Bayley to the mat too far away from the ropes, so it looked like, you know, the winner of the only women's Iron Man match in WWE history lost to being pushed down.
Yeah.
And thank God Bayley's smart enough to sell it like she got hurt, because that's the only way to save face in that situation.
Yep.
That's one thing I really liked in this match. Bayley, no matter what she did, sold the shit out of that arm.
Yes, she did. It was great storytelling by Bayley.
She didn't really have much choice, to tell you the truth.
She worked around Dana very well. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to put that.
Yeah.
She worked around her very well.
Yeah. We've all known it. There's just some opponents where you have to put them in the ring with someone like a Shawn Michaels or, you know, an Undertaker who can dictate the match, because there's no fucking way they're going to actually pull it off themselves.
Now, on the flip side, to the positive, Dana, the character they want her to do in the role they want her to play is the right role for her in 2 years.
Yeah.
She has that perfect mid-card heel role. She's just not ready for it. It's the best way to put it.
It's a very good way to put it. The problem is, who's on the women's roster right now that Bayley could go up against that isn't, you know, working somebody else that's better than Dana?
Emma.
Charlotte.
Charlotte, Emma.
That isn't working with somebody else.
You don't think this wasn't a blow-off for Charlotte and Sasha?
This is the blow-off for a while.
Well, yeah.
You can't have those two in another match after this. It's like, what, are you going to put them back in the singles match?
We're going to be talking about that main event, and I'll admit it right now. The main event, I'm pissed at.
Because where that goes, which buys them time, is Survivor Series. They don't have to get the next program ready because of that show.
Yeah, because they're just going to put the five best women together. So
you're kind of lucking out there.
Yeah. So that gives you, a month and a half as opposed to 3 weeks.
Yeah, because of the Raw pay-per-view.
Pretty much.
Because the Raw pay-per-view is on December 18th, so you got some time.
Okay, speaking about pay-per-views, when is the next pay-per-view?
In November, November 20th.
That's the next one. There's no SmackDown pay-per-view between now and then.
No.
Kind of get lost in the shuffle sometimes. There's so much going on, so many months out of the year. It's hard to follow along.
Because then 2 weeks after Survivor Series is TLC.
Yeah.
So then we're back to 2 months. Yay.
The who?
Anyway, Bayley won.
Yeah, Bayley won. And good job on Bayley for actually, basically working the match enough for two people. I have that little respect for Dana Brooke. I'm sorry. But here it is, guys. If you want to go to a WWE event and you want reason to spend money on a Raw show or a Raw pay-per-view, make sure Enzo and Cass are on the card.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, Enzo and Cass on the mic, worth the price of admission alone. The rest of the pay-per-view could suck. If I was going to a live event and they're on the mic, my money has been well spent as far as I'm concerned.
There's such part of me. It's like, we have big Cass, and Vince likes his boys big and young. No context. But so eventually that's going to get split up, and the only way I'm okay with it is if Enzo goes to the back and just writes everyone else's promos. Like if he could just write the whole 3 hour show like that, I'd be so thrilled.
So Tim, explain to us what they said.
Oh God, don't ask me to repeat it verbatim word for word, but apparently Anderson and Gallows are now Andy and the Big Gal. And, just for your edification, Enzo has been with women bigger than Big Gal.
So my thought process was, so Gallows is the big girl who needs to get laid?
Yeah, well, no, big, just ask Cass. Big girls don't cry, but big girls need loving too.
So Gallows needs the loving, so, you know. He doesn't have the hot Asian wife, so.
God.
Well, that's what Anderson brags about, having the hot Asian wife. It ties in.
Yeah, I know. I'm just thinking that Enzo and Cass had me in stitches tonight. That's all. It was just that damn funny. Definitely, I'm going to be watching again just for that.
Oh, and the other
big Cass is going to be called Woody because he's going to have Andy tattooed on the bottom of his boot.
Yeah, that too. That's the other one there. This ain't Toy Story.
Yeah. The other note I wrote down, Anderson is now a boring font. Called
that Times New Roman. Roman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's such a geek in my head going, Ariel's more generic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but Ariel has more variation than Times New Roman. You got Ariel bold, Ariel light, Ariel rounded. So at least the Ariel has dimensions.
Times is just default. That's the problem with Times.
Yep.
It's bland.
It's boring. Oh, I get it now. Oh shit. I'm just choking on that. But of course, after the promo, the club comes out, Andy and Big Gal, and there's a match going on, and Enzo, looking great starting the match off. Of course, it's, Enzo and Cass formula. Enzo starts, Cass finishes. And you can't teach that. But naturally, because it's the club versus Enzo and Cass halfway through the match, it becomes a cluster. You expect it. You're actually waiting for it. And you don't have a problem with it when it happens. It happened tonight. And as a result, Enzo and Cass lose.
The club needed this so bad.
Yeah, well, they can't keep going the way they've been going, or otherwise they're going to wind up being jobbers just as bad as the Ascension. Okay, Rock.
Just ignore corner. Me. Just ignore me. Just go. I'm going back to watching football.
Just yeah, no, me. I'm actually going to tell people what you just did. Yeah, people listening. Yeah, basically taking what I said and perverting it for your own personal pleasure. Enzo starts, Cass finishes. You can teach that in sex ed.
Well, we have agreed that Enzo's the one with the golden tongue.
Oh, God. Okay, Omega, corner.
Rock, we're going to the corner.
Never mind. I'm not going to do it.
Just move on, Tim. Move on. Told you, just ignore it.
Welcome to the Wild Talk Radio Network, where the rails are just a suggestion.
All right. Basically, this match was nothing special. Enzo got
But it wasn't anything special, but it was fun.
I know. It was fun. Enzo got thrown around. Gallows and Anderson finally got the win they needed for a very long time because they were slaughtered by Enzo and Cass on TV for the last 2 weeks. And, you know, they couldn't beat the New Day, so, you know, it's a win they need it. Hopefully it takes them somewhere. I doubt it.
No, it's against Enzo and Cass. I'm sorry, not to take anything away from Enzo and Cass, but this win isn't going to do the club any good. It just isn't. That's all.
Tell me, they need some kind of momentum so they can do something good.
This might be the beginning of this momentum they need. I'll give you that much.
Okay, but on the flip side, who's above Enzo and Cass from the face? New Day, that's it.
It's almost like they have half a roster, Rock.
I know.
Kind of.
And on the plus side, because we'll get to it in a minute, hey, look, there's a SmackDown vs. Raw 5-team vs. 5-team match at Survivor Series. They can prolong the feuds. Yay.
Oh, boy.
This all Survivor Series seems to be so far is one big delay.
Well, Survivor Series is basically WWE's version of Pardon the Interrupter. That's an ESPN sports reference, Omega, just so you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it makes no sense to... Anyway, just because it's the name of the show doesn't make the reference right. Anyway, son of a bitch.
Yeah, the club wins. They needed it. Okay, next match.
Cowboys won, by the way. Son of a bitch.
Cowboys won? Aw, poor Kane Kittens. He's got to have a whole week now to think of really demeaning insults to shoot your way, Rock. That's going to like be a lot of work for him. I don't know if he's got time. He never takes a day off. You know that. Back to Hell in a Cell. Hey, Omega, did you know that Rollins and Reigns was the second Hell in a Cell match?
Was it?
Yeah. There are three on the night.
What match did you say it was?
It's Rollins versus Reigns.
Repeat that?
We're waiting for it.
Try that again.
Yeah, just making sure you're paying attention. Rollins versus Owens. Kevin Owens, the title holder of the WWE Universal Championship title.
It's sad. I've heard people mess that up twice, Neil, in 24 hours. All right.
Yeah, I did on purpose.
No, you didn't.
Actually, yeah, I did. Now, this definitely gets my vote for match of the night. You were saying that it was good use of the Hell in the Cell for the opening match, Rock. This one, great use of the cell during the match.
This was just playing with all the toys they could find.
It was fun, Omega.
It was fun. I will give it that.
That one spot that Kevin Owens was working to set up looked like it was going to hurt somebody with the two tables.
Yeah, I thought someone was going to die from wood shards in that one.
At the very least. In case you missed it and you're wondering what the hell we're talking about, what happened, Kevin Owens pulls out this one table, sets it up on the floor, pulls out the second table, and angles it on the corner of the mat wedged into the cage.
You got one table set to 45 degrees and then another one set the opposite length at 90 degrees.
Now, something like that, if and when it lands, it looks spectacular. It looks scary. It looks, air quotes, bad, as in painful. Scary, not the greatest thing you ever want to have happen. The secret of it, however, and you could ask, you can ask Mike if you want, because, you know, like, he wrestles in the ring. The tables actually work as a cushion, so it doesn't hurt as much.
Absolutely.
Oh, hell yeah. When you do a table spot, you want a double table spot before you do a single table spot, especially if you've got distance.
A lot of distance.
You know, you think about the cartoons where the guy falls off the top of the building and he goes through every single awning on the way down, and by the time he's through the last awning, he doesn't hit as hard because the awning's all slowing down. That's essentially what happens with the tables.
Yeah, and especially if you're like a super heavyweight or like a powerhouse or something, and if you're going through the table, it's kind of like, ooh, do it again, do it again, do it again.
Because it's kind of fun, I'll admit it. I've been there, done that. I'm not a wrestler, but, you know, as a promoter, sometimes the promoters get beat up, and sometimes I got beat up.
You've been there, done that. Did you buy the t-shirt?
You know what? No, but I sold the t-shirts, and they were only $20 each.
So you made a profit. All right, perfect.
It's all about profit. There you go. Yeah, no, absolutely good match. Damned entertaining. A lot of great false finishes. Hey, even Chris Jericho got involved halfway through the match.
That was smart. See, I loved how they got Jericho into this match.
Yep. When he comes running down. Why was the cage door open? It doesn't matter. Jericho's going through it. Look, they closed it. They can't do anything about it now. He's in there, you know.
They opened it to get the injured ref out.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just like.
Don't lie to the audience.
Why not? The announcers did. I was basically doing, paraphrasing what the announcers were saying.
Well, tell the people what, there's some people listening who didn't see the show, at least tell them what the fuck happened.
The injured referee, that was, I have to admit, that was a bit of a crazy bump for a ref to take. Kevin Owens, just okay, guys. Seth Rollins is outside the ring, between the ring and the cage, and, you know, he's, air quotes again, injured, and Kevin Owens is pressing the advantage. He goes underneath the ring and pulls out a weapon. What's the weapon? Oh, my God. Who puts a fire extinguisher under a wrestling ring?
Kane.
Yeah. Anybody involved in WWE. Kevin Owens would make the world's worst firefighter. He can't work a fire extinguisher.
He prematurely shot his load off.
Okay, you
happens to a lot of guys in their first time.
And you can teach that.
All right, that's it. That's it. No more shades of gray for you guys.
We're on the corner now.
Oh my God, Mike. Yeah, you wound up joining them.
What?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, apologies to Lindsay Word for stealing her gimmick. I just borrowed it. You can have it back. Oops, drop something. So yeah, Kevin Owens grabs a fire extinguisher and he's looking, trying to figure out how to get it all set going. The nozzle's in his right hand and it's pointed up and away and into the ring. The ref comes over to go and look over the ropes just as Kevin accidentally squeezes the trigger. Face full of whatever that chemical is that they put into fire extinguishers.
Face full of white substance?
I didn't want to say it, Rock, because you're just in one of those moods tonight. Yeah, but here's the thing. Okay, fine, I'm going to play along too. Kevin doesn't shoot just once, but twice. Okay, Tim, corner. But the thing that was absolutely awesome, Kevin Owen getting frustrated and pissed off because he can't use the extinguisher properly. That's just, you know, the subtlety, right? That helps make him such a great performer. It's the little things, I guess you could say. That's
Well, that's always what Kevin Owens does best. You know, it's the same as, you know, setting up these huge spots, running up to initiate them, and just walking past and just kicking the guy. Like,
yep.
It's playing with expectations. It's such a simple thing, but God, does it piss people off.
And it's just the perfect nuance. It's not just giving you the picture that the wrestlers do when they put on a show for you, but it's actually like painting the entire picture. And it just brings more of a sense of realism. And Kevin Owens, I got to admit it, the guy is an absolute master of doing this. And if you've never paid attention to any of this stuff before, kids, you will now, just because we're talking about it and bringing it up. Sure enough, tomorrow night on Raw, when you see Kevin Owens, you're going to watch all the little things he does when he's not in the spotlight, all of the background things that he does that just accentuate what's going on. And it's awesome. It really is. And, I got a kick. I just chuckled when he got pissed off at the fire extinguisher because it was just so perfect. But man, I love this match. This was great.
Jericho's good. Rollins played the underdog very well and Kevin Owens retained. Oh no, I thought it was a really good match.
Yeah, Kevin Owens, didn't lose the title, and, part of it was, you know, you could kind of thank Jericho a little bit. Oh, Jericho got his revenge for getting beat up too in the middle of the match. At one point in time, it was basically 2-on-1, but Seth Rollins was holding his own and taking turns taking shots at each other. At the end of the match, Jericho delivers, that code breaker. It was a really interesting delivery on the code breaker though. What's that?
That code breaker was beautiful.
Oh, it was Seth Rollins. The way he took it, it was like, whoa, what the hell was that?
Well, I think it was just his way of selling it because he was like, I guess, tired and he was worn out. And then he was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not popping up. I'm just going to fall.
But the thing is, Jericho gets his knees up into Rollins' face. Rollins grabs his legs but right below the knees and basically drops Jericho, and I thought for a second that he was going to turn it into like a power bomb. And it's like, boom, nope.
He probably accidentally knocked himself out.
but it was brilliant. It really was.
It's been a thing with the Codebreakers. They've all seemed weird lately.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Mike might have had a point. Like, that was a very exhausting match to watch. Could you imagine actually having participated? Right? So, Rollins was probably just really super tired and, as a result, sold it kind of funny.
The man says Chance Jericho feuds with Rollins before Owen. They've sort of been feuding already on TV, so I don't know if it's, they're gonna do another singles match. They've what, fought three times on television? I don't know, again, you have Survivor Series, they're gonna be on probably Team Raw together. We'll see all three of them trying to get along with one another.
Yeah, and that's just gonna cause friction with Team Raw. You know that's where the main friction's gonna come from, right?
Yeah, that's sort of the idea. I should thank Team Omega for helping Kevin Owens retain the belt. So I get more points.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Thank Team Omega. What?
He had Jericho. So
that's fine, but he didn't have any say in the match.
Says you.
Not taking anything away from you, Omega, but to the best of my knowledge, you're not on WWE Creative. And if you are, you deserve a bitch slap for half the shit you've written.
I never said Omega. I said Team Omega.
Well,
difference. His people.
What's the difference? Team Omega is Omega.
But Jericho was on the team. Jericho helped me get points. So
fine.
I'm crediting people where they're due credit.
Oy vey. So, yeah, fun match. I had a great time watching it. And now what's next for Kevin Owens? What's next for Seth Rollins? We know at some point in time, Triple H is coming back, and there is going to be a match between Triple H and Seth Rollins. Now, I've heard Survivor Series was the first match against these two. But if that's the case, where was Triple H tonight? Should he not have gotten involved or at least made an appearance?
I think he comes back long after Survivor Series. I have a feeling Triple H is in the Rumble and screws Seth Rollins.
Like he screwed
Roman Reigns. Hashtag Triple H movement.
No, hashtag Triple H movement. Once again, fuck off. But here's the thing. Unlike screwing Roman Reigns, this time he's going to get the proper reaction for screwing Seth. And Seth Rollins' babyface turn will be complete.
So, yeah, it's going to be...
You don't think it's going to happen until the Rumble, and then their match will be at Mania.
That sort of would be the idea, yeah. Survivor Series, you're doing Goldberg and Lesnar, you don't put Triple H on that show.
Yeah, that would be overkill for... okay, Survivor Series is one of the big four, but you've got, you know, it's Survivor Series. The whole pay-per-view is a certain concept. Like Royal Rumble is a certain concept. You got like three matches and then the Rumble.
Or like Hell in a Cell, where you have three matches inside a cell.
Inside a cell and then everything else. Yeah. So, yeah, no, you know what? That actually makes perfect sense to have him show up at Rumble. And would he be entrant number 30 again? And Seth Rollins is like the last one in there, or one of the last two when he pops.
If they only have one idea for former Shield members, yes.
I wonder if they come up with something a little more innovative, or if they just repeat and it's a sequel, because, you know, everybody loves a sequel.
Anyway, let's go to break.
Yeah, everybody listening to WTR Sunday Night's review of WWE Raw's Hell in a Cell. We're going to take our first, last, and only time out of the evening. So go and refresh yourselves while you got a chance. We're going to be back on the other side of this with three more matches. Then we're going to basically just wrap it up. We'll be back right after this.
Extra gets a little Bella in the form of Total Bellas.
It's not about you.
Technically, it's all about me.
Join us each week as we review the latest happenings going on in the world of the Bellas.
My husband doesn't know what a quickie is.
Ew. Let's see how sensitive he is.
My husband can't have like 2 minutes to 5 minutes of sex because he needs to start out with making out,
yeah,
and touching.
Whatever, that's
and,
fine.
Like,
no, that's
all
fine.
All the time.
That's
all the time.
Work.
Which I love, but sometimes I'm like, no, a quickie, like, come on.
Why don't you just say, hey, dude. Penis.
No, I'll just be like, well, I can give, I guess for guys you call it a hand job.
Yeah, so why not?
No, I do. I have them do it all the time.
Yeah, it's so great. Sad. That's fantastic.
Check out the Rack Extra,
Totobellas Weekly at WildTuckRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
My mother is getting more than me. It doesn't take them an hour to get off, I will tell you that.
People power!
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Thursday nights, the Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You're engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got fired!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh! Oh.
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What superhero would you have as your running mate?
I'm gonna go with Superman.
Dynamite. Ooh, man's best friend.
Deadpool.
On the one hand, you don't want to tie yourself down with someone who sucks, because they would suck. On the other hand, you really don't want to be shown up by your running mate. So somebody like Captain America or Wolverine will just make you look pitiful in comparison. Then you've got to worry about the whole DC versus Marvel thing, so you don't upset any fanboys. But as that is, I think I would go with The Question, Vic Sager version. The guy's got this whole mystery appeal. Perfect because nobody can possibly dig up dirt on him. But he's this great investigator. He's always finding the thinnest of threads, tying together things that you wouldn't even imagine, which will not only help bury the competition, but will also be a defining part of my administration's dealings in getting something better for you.
There was a debate in my head between Deadpool and, believe it or not, Professor X.
That's a good option.
Like, you want to know the reason why I did not choose Professor
X? Because people would be scared, though, because he's a mind reader. And everybody would question, are you doing what I want to do, or am I doing what you want me to do?
See, that wasn't even the reason why I didn't choose him. The reason why I didn't choose him is because this motherfucker can do all these sorts of things with his mind. Why the fuck can't he make it himself walk? Or at least float or something so he doesn't need the goddamn wheelchair?
Because he doesn't have telekinesis. It's only telepathy. It's only mental power. It's not any kind of a physical power. Jean Grey, if she was to go crippled, she has telekinesis, which she would be able to flow and make herself walk. Magneto, right, too, because Magneto could put metals in your body, which he later learned, but he could put metal on the bottom of his shoes and certain parts of his suit and make it look like he's walking.
The election debates for the CB Radio Party continue on CB Radio Saturday nights only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Vote now, cbradiolife.com. Do the thing.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Colt Cabana, Colt Cabana, it's Colt Cabana!
And welcome back, WTRS and the Nitro Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and 100% free on TuneIn, the 100% free app that you download onto your mobile device. Search Wild Talk Radio Network, listen to us wherever you may be, anytime we do any kind of live events. Shall we just start calling them live events?
Yep.
No.
One vote yes, one vote no. Omega, you're the tiebreaker.
No, it didn't work so well when WWE did that.
That was two no's to one yes, and then I say yes, and then all of a sudden we're tied again. So we need a tiebreaker for the tiebreaker.
I'll break the tie.
You're not allowed to.
I'm allowed to. We're not calling.
You're only allowed one vote.
I don't
this
care.
This is not American politics. You're only allowed one vote.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's just like move on.
Not live events. Not live events.
There you go. It's a live event. It's a live happening.
Anyway, if you want to get involved in voting, go to cbradiolive.com right now and vote in the CB Radio Party election. People are doing it. It's a thing. Go vote. cbradiolive.com.
Oh yeah, cbradiolive.com. But speaking about voting, you can vote for the all-time greatest.
Yes.
Still. The polls are open. Just go to wrestletalkradio.com. You can still vote. You've got time.
Got like another 10, 15 minutes to vote.
About that, eh?
What you talking about?
Talking about.
So what are we talking about? What are we talking about next, Tim?
We're talking about boots. For winter wear, wear Sorel. The winter boot you want to be feeling good in, eh? Stop it.
I was trying to transition to the match, but he's talking about boots. Okay.
Well, you started it, goddammit. So I'm just going to bring up the fifth match of the evening. It's the Cruiserweight Division match, Brian Kendrick versus TJ Perkins. Here's the thing.
Please lay down
for me.
You
got a Cruiserweight Division going on. What was that, Rock?
So please lay down for me. Oh, wait. We're not there yet.
I'm just getting there. You got the Cruiserweight Division that you want to be over. You want it to be gotten over. You don't want it to be over with. At least I would hope you don't want it to be over and done with. Why would you have somebody like Brian Kendrick say to TJ Perkins, lay down for me because I can't beat you so I can win? Bad paraphrasing, but you get the idea.
Why would Brian Kendrick be fired if he lost?
He was fired.
I don't know. Maybe he's on the Heath Slater deal.
It made no sense. It's like, you know, I need the money. This is my chance, so.
I can't beat you, so just let me win. Let me pin you, because I can't beat you. Well, talk about taking away credibility. Everybody was all hyped about the cruiserweight tournament.
This whole feud was all about taking away credibility.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Brian Kendrick literally begging for a free pinfall. You have TJ Perkins tapping out after he barely got his first title defense in. And then you had tonight, which was a travesty.
Yeah.
And then on Raw, you had, what, Kendrick lose to Rich Swann? And now Kendrick's the champ. Like, not good logic.
This is shooting themselves in the foot. Really, it is.
So, the reason the Cruiserweight Classic worked, because it was about competition for the championship. It's a competition tournament. That's why it worked. Now you're going personal problems, and this and that. It doesn't work.
I have to admit, ever since the Cruiserweights came onto Raw, I have been less than extremely impressed with what I have seen. After all the hype and the build-up and the enthusiastic responses from everybody during the tournament, I'm like, okay, this is going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. The crowd didn't really know what was going on because they didn't know these guys. There was no major investment like there is with the regular stars, except for Brian Kendrick. He's the return. But it has just not been very stellar since.
Because they throw guys out there. That's all they do. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Guys. Russell.
Yeah. Don't you know who Lindsay Dorado is? No. Well, our writers don't either. But here he is.
He's a dude in a mask. Yay.
This is the difference between NXT building up and NXT booking the matches versus Raw's writers who really don't have any idea what to do with these little guys.
And here's the thing. I've talked about this before. You look at how they handled the Cruiserweights on NXT. They brought in Rich Swann and Lindsay Dorado. They brought them in, and they've mixed them in, and they feel like regulars. On Raw, they just are, here's the Cruiserweights. Look at their shiny robes and all the flips they do.
It's like all the behavior we used to give the Divas division is now on this division.
It is.
It's literally what it is. There's only two people that matter at any one time, and everyone else is just a body to fill the ring.
It's hot at first. It was hot at first, but now it's kind of like, God damn it. We're tired now. We need some, what's the new material? Because like, everything went well, you know, I think they should have just kept CWC. They should have just kept that. And so that they can build them up and go to the main roster. But, you know, that's just me. I just think that, Kendrick and TJ Perkins, they hyped TJ Perkins really good thanks to his Titantron. But it's like people know Brian Kendrick, and to see him, you know, have that match, it was kind of like, so is this about to be another thing? Cause now I'm about to start looking at Survivor Series. What's going to happen now? Team Kendrick versus Team Perkins.
Oh no, we've got too many Survivor Series matches as it is.
I mean, I understand that, but
no.
Okay, pre-show.
No, we're going to get Team Cruiser. We're going to get a Cruiserweight Survivor Series match.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ.
You already know this. And exactly, that's the reaction, because people are getting burned out of the same old guys that are doing the same things. Granted, I love Cedric Alexander. I love Rich Swann. I know Rich Swann. I've seen Cedric work. I've seen a lot of them work. Maybe it's time to start branching out.
The problem is you have these guys in the Cruiserweight division. In the Cruiserweight Classic, they were great. Everyone stood out. Everyone had their own thing and their own vibe in the ring. And you could actually tell the difference between them just in how they performed in the ring. But then you get, you know, and they're like actual Cruiserweight matches. They're fast paced. They're exciting. And then you go to Raw where the booking is very much just go through the motions until it's time to hit a signature move. So you've stripped away this creativity and you've stripped away all of this adrenaline that this is supposed to be. And you did the one thing. And tonight, you really did the one sin that you cannot commit in a Cruiserweight match. You are boring. You know, the whole point of the Cruiserweight division is not to just go through the motions until it's time to hit a signature move. You can't book it the same way you book the heavyweights. You have to let them do their own thing. You have to let them go full throttle. You have to let them give you variety in your show rather than just being a bunch of who the fuck cares faces putting on the same matches the big guys do, just smaller.
Because they all the heavyweights work the same exact style. Seth Rollins does, Kevin Owens does, they all do the same thing. Cruiserweights don't stand out.
Yeah, so all you have is a bunch of names that nobody's heard of, and when you throw them all at the audience at one time, they're not going to pick favorites. They're not going to pick people that stand out. You know, you got to give them a reason to care about these people. But when you just throw them out there, like you, like on the pre-show, it's like six at once, and the only one anyone knew was Sin Cara.
I want to ask Tim something. Tim, explain to me who TJ Perkins is. All right, stop. You said That's it. Explains it all right there.
Yeah, exactly. What do I know about TJ Perkins? Apparently he's a friend of Brian Kendrick's. Apparently he was at one point in time homeless, living in a car, and needed Brian Kendrick's help to, like, just eat day to day.
Why should we care?
What have you done to get me invested in TJ Perkins? I like the 8-bit graphics that he comes out to. I'll admit that.
Yeah, everyone has fancy graphics, so.
But
beyond that, fancy graphics. All right, cool.
Basically, to make your point, who's TJ Perkins and why should I care?
They never gave you a reason to care.
Nope.
The only thing about him that you know is he won the Cruiserweight Classic. The only thing I know about him is he wins the Cruiserweight Classic that's supposed to be this tournament of the best cruiserweights in the world, and then he loses his belt in a little more than a month.
And Mike, I know you know who TJ Perkins is. The point was, as a Tim is not a fan. Tim never watched the Cruiserweight Classic. Tim doesn't. He's the, you know, casual outsider type fan. Even for this purpose.
Thanks for clarifying that.
It was for this purpose. For this purpose.
I mean, I understand.
Yeah, the host of this show for forever is just a casual outside fan.
I understand. For this purpose. That was all.
No, I completely understand. I mean, It's one of those things where it's like, if you're not into the indie, well, correction, if you don't know a few of the indie superstars, it's like, oh, who are you? Just like everyone knew, didn't know who Rich Swann was. Huh, who's Rich Swann? Oh, God, he can dance. Yeah, let's go. Woo, woo.
They tried teaching Renee Young how to dance tonight.
Stop.
Sorry. Had to bring it up.
I know. And it was just like Cedric Alexander. Oh my gosh, who's Cedric Alexander? But everybody and their mama knows Cody. The thing of it is,
here's the thing. The main roster fans won't know who Kota Ibushi is.
Right. It had to take someone of that stature for everyone to finally be like, oh my God, Cedric Alexander. Ho 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 ho. Blah blah blah. Give him a contract, please. You know. Because there were a lot of people, there were a lot of guys, cruiserweight-wise, that made a name for themselves in the CWC. Grand Metalik. Those chops are evil.
Now, when you go back in time to the cruiserweight battle between WWE, WWF at the time, and WCW, WCW won hands down with cruiserweight because people got invested because they had not only great wrestling, they had good storylines with the wrestlers. You got to know who they were. You got invested in them. You got to know Eddie Guerrero. You got to know Juventud Guerrera. You got to know La Parca.
Dean Malenko.
Well, La Parca's not exactly someone who had a very strong storyline. No. But it was character. Like what made the cruiserweights in WCW so great is that everyone's character was so bright and distinct from each other. You know, La Parca, this overweight skeleton, you know, playing guitar on a chair, is a vastly different creature to Ultimo Dragon with Sonny Ono coming out with 9 belts draped all over him.
But that's the entire point. They all had personalities. WCW borrowed or stole, whatever you want to call it, from AAA Mexico and the Mexican lucha scene. And they said, you guys, listen, a lot of you are luchas coming up from Mexico. A lot of you aren't. Look at what they're doing here. Look how larger than life they are. Go out and do your own goddamn thing. That's why we had La Parca playing rock guitar on the steel chair. And you will not remember a La Parca match, but you will remember his entrance.
Absolutely.
Because like, even if they didn't have a storyline, the character shines so bright. No one is really shining in the cruiserweight division right now.
Nobody in the cruiserweight division has a real shiny character.
Because nobody's trying to utilize them at what they excel at. They're just trying to make them do what everybody else does.
Mike, that's right to make a point here. And Mike, yeah, I know there are exceptions. Go ahead.
No, it's not even exceptions. I think it's because they're not given that chance to on the main roster. It's just like, all right, go wrestle, then come back. Can we just, no. But I want it, no.
No.
But what about the, no.
No, trade punches, hip tosses, and Irish whips for about 10 minutes, and then get your scrawny little asses out of there.
You can do a couple of flips. Just do two. But what about if I want to do, no. I'm in charge, not Triple H.
See, that's the problem with the main roster versus the tournament or even NXT. NXT, you're told you've got 15 minutes, go out and shine.
Yeah.
The tournament, I caught bits and pieces, you know, like not when it was happening, but after the fact. And it's like, okay, you guys, you're out to make an impression. Go impress. Hit the main roster. The main roster is a totally different animal. You guys, you've got 10 minutes. You've got three spots you have to hit, and then you're done. Get out.
Tape show, live TV. Flagship show, they should have been on SmackDown. Because I will say this, if you got to go back and watch the pre-show, Ronaldo helped the match.
Oh yeah, by far. The problem is, honestly, Raw is the division that needed the Cruiserweights because they needed that hit of variety in the show. It just dragged because they immediately stripped the variety out of those performers.
It's why you have
Brian Kendrick as the champion right now, even though TJ Perkins won the whole super important tournament, because he's the only established one there. He's the only name. And they don't give a shit how talented they are on the main roster. They're just people they don't know, plus Brian Kendrick. So they're gonna make it the Brian Kendrick show.
Now, let me ask you something. Brian Kendrick's first run through WWE, what is the one thing that he did that really sticks out in your brain?
Named himself Spanky.
Okay. Mike?
Got killed by The Undertaker.
Okay. Rock?
Had a successful title reign with Paul London.
Okay.
Tag team champions.
Coming out in that bodysuit, that flesh-covered bodysuit, pretending to streak. The one thing in common that all four memories have, it allowed Brian Kendrick to show a personality.
Yeah. They don't let anyone show. They threw all the stars out there and went, here we go. Here's the Cruiserweight. Do you want them? But the problem is, you gotta remember, the WWE Network, for all it's good, the Cruiserweight Classic was for a niche audience. You're not pandering to them. You're pandering to an entire audience. It's different when 200 people are down in Full Sail University cheering for them. And you got 10,000 on Raw.
The 10,000 on Raw need a reason to invest. And they haven't been given it.
And here's another problem with that. They spend so long setting it up for them to come out, the fans lose interest.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got to retape them ropes, change the mat, all that. It's like 5 minutes beforehand, 5 minutes after. You're killing them guys, you're killing the crowd before it, killing it for everyone after. And then you're doing it twice a show.
I understand that you've got promos that you're going to put out there and backstage segments and skits and everything else like that where you're got it all timed. That's when you're going to do it. And you've got your ring crew having it down to such a T. It's like a pit stop crew in a NASCAR race. Same time. It's still, everybody's watching the ring crew do all of this stuff. Enough, first off, enough with the colored ropes. We get it. The purple and white was great for the tournament. We don't need it anymore.
If you want to stick with the mat, that's fine, because the mat takes a half a minute to get it down. You're good.
You just roll it out and tie it down. Big deal. Done.
That's a commercial break. Okay, cool. They retape the ropes, and then they got to retape them again, and then retape them again, and change the turnbuckle pads.
So, yeah, it just, the whole thing, it's just, you know, first off, it was overhyped for what we wound up getting. You know, it's like that movie that people have really, really great expectations for, and then it's less than what was expected. Star Wars prequels.
Every Transformer movie.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, the first one, you know, in retro, if you watch the other three, the first one's not so bad. The Nokia phone from Japan, you know?
It had a chain gun for a dick.
It was, okay, anyway. Yeah. You get the point. The match wasn't anything spectacular. Brian Kendrick wins the title. Yay.
Poor me. Oh, I hurt myself. Feel sorry for me, TJ. Feel sorry for me.
Headbutt.
Yep.
Oh, God.
That's what happened.
Yeah, it was just a little bit too predictably obvious, the ending of that match.
This match sucked.
It did.
It was slow. It was boring. It failed to do anything for either one of these guys. Like, Kendrick doesn't even come off as a clever heel because I've seen that shit so often lately.
Mm-hmm. He's just like a carbon copy of other stuff that hasn't worked very well. Why does he think he can make it work? Why do they think he can make this work when others haven't? Others who have more talent than Brian Kendrick haven't been able to get that over. The only one successful at doing a cowardly heel was the debut of Chris Jericho interrupting The Rock.
That's Jericho and The Rock.
TJ and Kendrick are not Jericho and The Rock.
No.
Point.
Jericho and The Rock, give those two microphones and 5 minutes, they will give you more personality than the entire Cruiserweight division has shown you to this point.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Anyway, let's move on.
Anyway, yeah, next match.
Oh, there are other matches.
Yeah, we got two more to go, and then we can wrap things up. Hey, Cesaro was trying to be a nice guy, and he actually gave Sheamus a present.
He gave him his tape.
He tossed his tape to him.
It wasn't a present. It was just threw his athletic tape to him.
Here's some tape. I saved you $250.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, New Day versus Cesaro and Sheamus. Yeah, it was a match.
It was better on Raw.
You know,
Big E comes out. He throws boxes of cereal out to the crowd, and everyone cheers, and everyone loves it. But Brock Lesnar comes out, throws significantly more expensive car doors to the audience, and everyone freaks out.
Yeah.
At least he wasn't pulling it from his crotch this time.
Can we stop? No. Ew.
Those were some booty O's. That was awful.
Corner now.
He's already in the corner.
I'm already in here.
We're all in the corner except for Tim.
No, Tim's in the corner.
No.
Tim's in the other corner.
He's okay, in the far, far, far corner.
That's fine. Well, Rock gets 10 more minutes for that. Okay. It was pretty solid. You know, they did a little monologue for too long. And I was about to be like, oh my God, it's a shame. Oh, sirens, never mind. I really thought I was going to see, you know, Sheamus' entrance. I haven't seen it in a while. And the next thing you know, it's like music starts. Oh, okay. I guess Right to Censor came back. But nonetheless, you know, is it bad that I see them being like Matt Hardy and MVP? I see this storyline happening. It's like love, hate, blah, blah, blah.
No, they've done this like forced partnerships a lot. I will admit some of this has actually been entertaining, but rarely do I actually see these things play out well.
You're right.
Like to bring it like, because the problem is you either continue this on and they just become some other tag team. Or if they 1, 2, 3 lose a pinfall to the New Day, then they split up and we just go back to them just hating each other. Like then there's no point to this.
Pretty much, yeah. So the match was just okay. It was better on Raw because you had Xavier Woods instead of Kofi Kingston, which always seems weird. It should have been the other way around, but since they lost, that would make sense why Xavier was in the match.
Xavier being in the match always worries me because usually he's in there to take a pinfall.
Usually, yeah.
Which is not fair to the guy, because I've also seen him put on some really good performances. I remember they did that once where they put him in the championship match, him and Big E, and it was like, oh God, here's where they finally lose. Thank you, Xavier, weak link of the team. Mm-hmm. But like they gave him like a really strong comeback and he ended up winning the match. It's like, oh, okay, dude can rock. That's good to know.
I will say I thought the finish was clever. how they got out of it. I thought it was clever.
Kofi getting caught delivering the kick to Sheamus.
Yeah, I thought it was clever. It extends the series because we all knew they were not dropping the belts because they were trying to break the demolition record.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was a clever
They got to be coming close.
It was at 4:33 last night, so we're getting close. They're about 40 days away, so do the math.
And next pay-per-view, of course, we're stalling!
So, you know, there's Roadblock, where they'll defend the belts next, so could drop it there, or I think maybe just save it to the Rumble, because that would make it a bigger deal, but that's just me.
I'd save it till the Rumble.
If you're gonna break the record, shatter the record, just not do what they did with Nikki Bella, where she beat, or Charlotte beat Nikki, and it was like a, Nikki's record was like a week later, you know, beat AJ by a week or whatever it was, something like that. Shatter the record.
Extended.
Yeah, the match was okay. Sheamus
is nothing to write home about. No surprise that it was a DQ, to tell you the truth. I don't know.
I'll take the points.
Yeah, I didn't get any points.
Yes, you did.
Oh, I did? Oh, yeah, I got, what's his name?
You have Cesaro.
I forgot. So they win by DQ, which just pisses me off because the title doesn't change hands. But I don't get any credit for that on Pick'em.
Right. Yeah. Anyway.
Boo.
So there you go. That was that.
So yeah, that was that thing. And now we've got the main event. And the main event that pisses me off for two reasons.
All right, you tell us why it pisses you off, Tim, and then we'll tell you why.
Well, that's the same ones.
You're probably going to pick the same ones, are you? Okay. Well, the first thing that pisses me off, and then then we can talk about match, and then I'll tell you the second reason I'm pissed off. But the opening is overbooked, and they tried to make it too frickin' dramatic. Okay, Charlotte attacks Sasha before the bell even rings, and they go on this back and forth before the bell even rings, before the match is even officially started. And wouldn't you know it, Sasha gets so injured that she had to have a cervical collar put around her neck and wheeled out in a gurney. Oh, but wait, due to forfeit, the winner of the match and new WWE Women's Champion, hang on a second, a miraculous recovery. They didn't need all the bullshit and hype before this match even started. They didn't.
This just screamed of like, oh hey, we're putting Lita and Victoria in the cage. Isn't this a novelty?
I would disagree, but that's me.
Oh, you liked the way that they set up the match?
They did. They did Foley and Taker 98.
It took too long.
Okay, it took too long, but guess what? That's what they did. They did Foley and Taker 98.
You know what? Who did it first?
Foley and Taker in 98.
But there you go.
But
that's
here's
it.
The thing.
Foley and Taker,
Tim,
leave it.
Tim,
move on.
Tim,
do your own thing.
Tim.
But look at this. Okay. Look at the spot that they were going to wheel Foley out from versus a table bump.
They did the same spot with Dean and Seth a couple of years ago where they both took the thing and they were wheeling them out. It's what they do. It's how they set it up.
Now, the only part of that whole segment that I like was when Sasha finally got off the gurney and started bitch slapping all the medics.
I will agree, it took a long for her to crawl around the ring because it's a big damn cell and they just dragged it out too long.
I didn't have a problem with Charlotte cheap-shotting Sasha. I didn't have a problem with them taking the bitch slapping out into the crowd. Everything after that was too much.
Honestly, even if they had to go with that angle, and I hate that. You know, okay, if you want a ref to check on her and make sure she can continue, fine, do that. Have her just crawl her way into the cell, lock the door behind her. You know, fine. But, you know, if you have to do the stretcher spot, take it all the way to where she landed, put her on, and then wheel her out. Save us, like, at least a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the few minutes of her struggling and very slowly working her way around the cell. I will admit, I got really excited when they started climbing, and it was like, they are not going to let the girls be the ones to fight on top of the cage.
That would have been interesting, I have to admit it.
Now, Tim, we talked about this as when you watched Raw on Wednesday. Who did I say the promo was all about when they were building up the match?
Who did you say what?
Who the whole promo was on Monday when they were building this match. Who was it all about?
Charlotte.
No, it was about Foley.
The whole thing. It was too much Foley.
And they did Foley's match.
No. Well, if you want to be technical, if they really did Foley's match, Bayley would have came out as Funk and supported Sasha.
But they did the Foley match. That's the problem. They did it.
Yeah, they did the table spot.
They did everything you could possibly handle. Then you got into the match, and they did not avoid the cell. They went for the cell, and I thought
this force. When the real match began, it was fucking incredible. Like, they did not make them hold anything back.
Nope. They went for it.
You see, this is why I'm pissed off with what happened before the bell rang. The match itself was off the hook, off the chain. It was, you know, quote unquote, historical. It was the first time it was two women in a Hell in a Cell, which also made it the first time, two women, Hell in a Cell, main event of the night. Let the match be the match. Drop the fucking drama and the forced bullshit, because everything that happened after that felt deflated. The match would have sold itself.
This feels like another victim of, we don't know what cell match is going to go on last. Because I think if that happened in the middle of the show, no one would have really complained about it that much. But the fact that it's the final match of the show, we've already seen Seth and Owens put on an awesome cell match.
Yep.
This was just, like in my head, I was going, oh, shit, they're just, because in my head, I'm going, they're overbooking this to cut the match short.
Yep.
Which I was, like, this might be the latest we've ever started this show, because they let the girls go as long as they needed to.
For that reason, yes.
Like, that's, okay, they let the women wrestle in Hell in a Cell. Great. They let them wrestle actual hardcore. Great. They let them have the main event slot. Great. They also let them have as much time as they could get.
They were not rushed.
Vince is drugged. Vince is comatose right now.
He took his meds. He fell asleep. You know,
whole thing was, oh, Sasha's really, really, really injured. You go back and you think to SummerSlam, where she was legitimately hurt, and it's like, oh, shit. And that, I'll guarantee you, played in the back of everybody's mind watching this match. Sasha's going to lose because they're going to blame an injury. Sasha's going to, you know, okay, yeah, Sasha lost to Charlotte. Charlotte regained the title. It would have been a bigger deal if they hadn't have done the setup. They didn't need to do that setup. That's why I'm pissed off.
I'm pissed off at the hot potato booking of that fucking belt.
That's the other thing that pisses me off.
Back and forth, back, forth, back, forth. And we have a champion actually hold the fucking belt.
Yeah. How many times have we complained on this webcast in the past where the world heavyweight title was the hot potato? And it seemed like every week somebody else was winning the damn thing. That went on for years. And yet, okay, I'm exaggerating. It wasn't every week. It felt like it was every damn week the title was changing hands. John Cena would lose it, and then he'd get it back a couple weeks later. And then he'd lose it, and he'd get it back a couple weeks later. Oh, look, Batista won it. Oh, look, Batista lost it. Oh, look, Randy Orton is the youngest guy to win the title. Oh, look, Randy Orton lost it. Thanks a lot, Triple H.
And what makes me feel bad for the end for this as well is now Sasha has been on the losing end of two main event women's big stipulation matchups.
Yeah.
Okay, first woman to lose an Iron Woman match. First woman to lose a Hell in a Cell match.
One thing they have kept intact is Charlotte's perfect pay-per-view winning record.
Hooray.
Yeah.
She doesn't need it.
Nope. I don't have a problem with Charlotte having won the title. I have a problem with the title not being around one person's waist any longer than, what, 2 months in a row?
God, it really does. It really does spoil what was otherwise an awesome match.
So does this mean that now we're going to get Bayley and Charlotte?
I would expect Bayley and Charlotte and probably Sasha and Nia.
No. See, here's the thing. I would have more enjoyed a Bayley-Sasha match.
Well,
yeah, I know. I'm hearkening back to the NXT.
No. Like, everyone would want that because we know how good they were in NXT. They're holding that.
that will be a WrestleMania match, I suppose. But does that also mean we're going to see the title changing hands two more times between now and then?
At least one more time.
Too many times. One more time is still too many times.
But doesn't everyone want the Attitude Era back?
Yeah, come on. Let's make a 24/7 rule.
Everybody's got this rose-colored glasses view of the Attitude Era. The Attitude Era had great moments, but it also had some really fucked up bad moments. And people seem to forget that. This is what nostalgia does. It clouds your rear view.
How many times did Austin lose the belt in 98?
Too many.
But everyone wants the Attitude Era back. I'm just throwing that out there.
Not the rapid changing of titles part.
What, you want the Headbangers back? Oh, wait, you get that too, Tuesday night on SmackDown Live.
Yeah, I can deal without that. So overall, it was still an entertaining pay-per-view. It had its hiccups. You know, nothing's perfect. Nobody's perfect. Despite our bitching, my review is generally very positive about this entire show. I found it entertaining overall. I mean, even the best movies out there have their dead moments. And if you look at it this way, well, you know, the show had some dead moments. But overall, it was really good. And the stories they wanted to tell, they told.
Tim, what's the name of the show?
What's the name of what show?
The one we just watched.
Hell in a Cell.
Did all three matches, Hell in a Cell matches deliver?
The matches themselves delivered.
There you go. Hell in a Cell delivered then. That's it. Don't worry about the rest. Three matches that mattered counted. They were awesome.
There was only one match on here that they could have done without. Well, one and a half, except that Bayley actually did a good job carrying Dana.
Right. In other words, just filler. The three matches that should have been great were.
Kendrick, Perkins, I could have done without. The rest, I was fine with. Omega?
Yeah, I would say about the same. Like, yeah, there is some fluff on the card, but that's pretty much what you expect out of a pay-per-view these days.
Especially one that goes 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, it went 3 hours, 20 minutes for the right reason. I'll give it that.
Okay.
I mean, overbooked as it was, like, if I take out the stretcher part, my mind just goes straight from the announce table bump to the actual ringing of the bell.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would have a hard time deciding between, like, which of the Cell matches, either women's title or universal title, I liked more.
I have to admit, this is the first time, really, when you stop and you think about it, yeah, sure, they've been letting the women go off the leash, you know, more and more. Sorry for the improper visual, but this is the first time I've seen a women's match deliver like that since Trish Lita.
Yeah, well, even when it was about Trish and Lita, they never unleashed them like that.
This is true.
Yeah, pulling out actual table spots, Charlotte had the figure eight locked in, and Sasha like scrambles for the chair and starts whacking her.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, whatever, you know, like. Whatever flesh she could connect with, and you could see these like huge welts going all the way up Charlotte's arm from the chair shots.
Well, that's just it. Like the chair shots that Sasha was delivering, it's not your standard women's match chair shot where it's thump thump.
She's swinging.
Whack, whack. You could hear the chair connecting with the flesh.
So we've moved past from the days where we did the table match where the women's tables were pink.
When the tables were pink and the only things they were allowed to swing were pillows, God, they beat the shit out of each other.
It was awesome to watch.
The match itself was great. Mike?
They're going to be sore tomorrow, but damn.
Oh, yeah.
You know, oh, hell yeah. Mike, overall.
I can't say minus 5 stars. Kendrick. I'd give it a 7.
7 out of 10 is still pretty damn good.
A 7 out of our traditional scale of A to F.
So a 7 out of 10, you get a C.
7 out of 10? That's a B minus, you bonehead.
No, it's not. It's a C.
No, it's not. It's a C.
C's a C. In the middle.
C's a 70. And when you go by a school grading, that's a C.
School grading's stupid.
That's fucked up.
And that school depends on the
B minus for me was a 70.
Depends on the fucking school. Like, F was a 64 in my school.
You see, for me, an F was a 50 or a 49. You know, like failure was failure. And we had, if you hit 70, you got exempted from your finals. 70 was the magic mark back then.
70 to 79 was a C. 80 to 89 was a B. 90 to 100 was an A. D was 65 to 69.
Wow.
That's how that grading went.
That's just retarded.
Yeah, that shit changed halfway through high school for me. Mostly because the more people pass, the more funding they get. So let's make this shit easier and kind of ignore the fact where they're supposed to be smart. All right, we're getting into something that's definitely not wrestling.
Education time. Tim, tell us the pick 'em results.
Pick 'em results. Ooh, what, you still haven't checked your emails?
I did, but I was segueing to you as the host of the show.
Okay, there you go, because normally you just rattle it off. But yeah, the pick 'em results. Omega, congratulations.
Hmm?
Yeah, Tim, congratulations. Kane Kittens, congratulations. The three of us all went 6-2.
Fucking Kendrick.
Technically 7, no, I actually picked Kendrick to win. Technically 7-1 because of the tag titles never changed hands. But that doesn't count because they still lost. Anyway, Subway, Ace, Rock, Lindsay, the 8 ball, Chris Pierce, and Aaron Frost all went 5-3. Crispy, Rob, Sheila, Michael, and yeah, well, I can't count that one. So Crispy, Rob, Sheila, and Michael went 4-4. WWE 2K17 went 4-3. Mike, you were at 3-2. You've got to be available on Sunday afternoons to actually give Rock the, your pick 'em predictions for the final confirmed matches.
When you get tagged on Facebook post.
Random thing picker really sucked this time around, rounding out that 2. Correct, 3 wrong.
Random thing picker needs to be around on Sunday afternoons to fill up the rest of the show.
What's that?
Random thing picker needs to be around to Sunday.
Random thing what?
Random thing picker needs to be around.
You have such a hard time saying random thing picker.
Anyway, whatever.
It's a thing picker.
Anyway, the random thing picker needs to be around on Sunday afternoons to, you know, fill out the rest of the card.
Yeah, well, random thing picker needs to be asked after 6 o'clock because random thing picker can't pick randomly until after, you know, somebody gets home from work.
Or can pick on Saturday nights. Anyway.
Well, remind random thing picker to pick on Saturday night. On Saturday nights.
There you go. So, for the week in WTR Fantasy, Team Lindsay ended up with 0, Team Mike had 6, Team Omega had 8. Team Intern had 11, Team Tim had 13, and Team Rock had 39.
Fuck off.
Overall scores, Team Tim has 45, Team Omega has 56, Team Lindsay has 86, Team Intern has 91, Team Mike has 99, Team Rock has 120.
Team Rock cheats.
Right.
And who's on your team, Rock?
Charlotte.
Cheater.
How is that a cheater? I have Kevin Owens.
Cheater. Who else?
Let's see, I can tell you I have Ember Moon. I have Nia Jax. I have Neville, who should be the star of the Cruiserweight division.
Who could be?
I have Braun Strowman.
Cheater.
I have Sheamus and American Alpha.
Oh, you have Sheamus? Cheater.
Okay, compared to Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Cesaro, Asuka, Enzo, and Kaz, Apollo Crews, Baron Corbin, and Natalya.
Those are my picks. Cheater in the bunch. Cheaters apparently prosper in the world of professional wrestling. That said, shouldn't we move on to the all-time greatest?
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Omega, Wyatt Family vs. The Shield, go.
Shield.
Why?
Effectiveness. No matter how scary they are, no matter how big they are, no matter how intimidating their promos might be, the Wyatt Family is still ineffectual.
I could point out that the Wyatt Family would repeatedly beat the Shield, so that would be a thing.
Shield still got shit done routinely.
Except beat the Wyatt Family.
And yeah, the Wyatt, that's about the only credit the Wyatt family had.
But when it's a battle between the Shield
couldn't
and the
win the tag belts. Bray couldn't beat Taker. Couldn't even beat The Rock.
But in a real competition.
Yeah, Wyatt, that's enough. Forget it, Rock. All of your pushing ain't going to change the fact that he's right.
Trying to make the second more not one-sided.
You can't deny this. The Shield ran roughshod.
Except over the Wyatts.
Who went roughshod over absolutely nobody else. Therefore, ineffective overall. End of argument.
Mike?
Before or after Braun Strowman?
They're the Wyatt family. We could include Randy Orton now. He is a member of
Shield.
He is a member of the Wyatt family.
Just for that Shield.
I saw the photo that Luke's on the ropes trying to do Orton's pose.
Yep, it's amazing. Tim?
Shield.
60% of the fans went with the Shield. The Ministry versus the BWO. Mike?
Ministry. No, fuck. BWO.
Why?
Best parody ever.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that's the reason why. Okay. To each their own. Omega! Wait, hold on.
Oh no. God, good memories and bad memories at the same time.
Yes.
You don't even know why he's playing that for me right now, Mike.
I do.
Yeah, Tim does. You're listening to my origin right now.
It's the Omega.
Sounding bored and frightened of the microphone.
How far you've come in such a long time.
I'd like to think I've grown.
Outwards.
Outwards. Yeah, because I've got a table full of toys. It's certainly not inward.
There you go.
Do I go, like, this is like the most polar opposite I could imagine two stables. You got none of this pure intimidation and nothing that's in the other is just pure imitation. I will make it interesting and go Ministry. And I will again cite effectiveness. I love the BWO. It was still a gag group. And it's what, you know, it's the type of thing that gave Stevie a chance at ECW World Gold. Never actually accomplished that. The Ministry was just frightening as hell and about as dark and evil as I would imagine a WWE stable getting.
Tim, break the tie.
Oh boy. The corporate Ministry versus BWO?
No, just Ministry.
Oh, just the Ministry versus BWO.
Yeah, I think corporate Ministry is a separate one.
Didn't we eliminate them last week or move them on? One of the two.
I can't remember, yeah.
I have the
you know, it's 50-50, Rock.
We either eliminated them or moved on. Stunning.
I know.
Tune in to the all-time greatest to find out as we count down to the all-time greatest right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's called It's in the Format from last week, and I don't remember off the top of my head.
It's the all-time greatest right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Cats out of the bag, I did all the fake foreign accents for all the promos that we played.
It was the corporate Ministry moved on last week, being the Million Dollar Corporation.
There we go. Shit. BWO always gave me a chuckle. They were fun. I'll give you that. It was a gag, though. Couldn't take him seriously, and that is the only reason I can't vote for him.
So you're going with the Ministry?
The Ministerial Ministry.
All right, so the Ministry moves on, maybe. Let's see. The fans went with the Ministry 80%. So there you go.
Oh, I guess they move on then.
Next week, it's the Hart Foundation versus...
It's the who?
The Hart Foundation.
The who?
Just keep going.
Versus the McMahon-Helmsley regime. McCam. Tired. And the Aces and Eights versus the NWO.
And don't forget, voting begins tomorrow at WrestleTalkRadio.com. Make a note to go over to WrestleTalkRadio.com and place your votes in this next round of the all-time greatest. Come on, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some WrestleTalk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, fine. step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
That seriously needs some updating. This 60-second shit has not been valid in a long time.
We never stuck to 60 seconds.
That 60-second thing was never valid, period.
Well, that long time does still count.
Anyway, Mike, what's your favorite Hell in a Cell match of all time?
Mick Foley, Undertaker.
Tim, what is your favorite Hell in a Cell match of all time?
I hate you, Mike. That's the one.
Omega, which is your favorite Hell in a Cell match of all time?
See, I don't have much recollection. See, here's the thing. Foley and Taker wasn't much of a match. I mean, you start off climbing up to the top of the cell, it all comes literally crashing to a halt. Then it happens again. You know, the match is, it's more of a two giant spots more than an actual full match. And now I'm trying to remember other Hell in the Cell matches.
Shawn, Taker, Hunter, Taker, Randy Orton, John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Undertaker, Sasha Banks versus Charlotte.
My second favorite would have been Triple H.
No, you believe it or, no, oh, believe it wait, or not, I was almost tempted to pick one of the matches from tonight.
Hold on, I got it. Undertaker versus Big Boss Man.
Oh, sure. Where the man was hanged. No, I will go Shawn and Taker then.
The original. Or the forgotten one that was Kane and Taker versus Steve Austin on Raw. No one ever knows about that one. Never brought
maybe
up.
There's a reason.
God, there was one that was done at like as a dark match. With like CM Punk was in it, Jack Swagger was in it, and it lasted all of 5 minutes.
Because they had the cell there that one day.
Yeah, they just had the cell there, so they just like, fuck it, lower it. We'll just do it as like a post-main event.
We did the angle, let's now do it, you know, throw it out there.
And yeah, and people saw it, and it was apparently terrible.
Alright, Mike, what is your favorite Halloween candy?
Twix.
Tim, what is your favorite Halloween candy?
I begin by launching a protest. Twix is not a Halloween candy. It's a fucking candy bar.
Well,
Halloween candy is like rockets and that terrible, bad toffee wrapped in the orange and black paper and stuff like that. And candy corns. And candy apples.
So which is your favorite?
Oh my God. Mars bars.
Okay.
Omega, what's your favorite Halloween candy? Nestle's Crunch Bar.
Fuck it, a Mars bar. That's a Halloween candy, all right.
Well, the little mini ones where they would give you two of them.
My favorite Halloween candy are Cadbury cream eggs.
See how he's playing along? See, Mars bars really aren't my favorite Halloween candy.
No, you see, I'm almost not lying because they actually had them. Like, I actually bought them. They were Cadbury Scream Eggs.
Oh, I remember those.
And the only difference is, like, instead of the yellow yolk kind of cream they put in the middle, it was green.
It was, like, orange and green?
No, it wasn't orange.
No?
No, it was just, like, it was, like, the normal white cream, and then, except for that yellow that they put in for the yolk of the egg, it's a green glob in the middle.
If you close your eyes while you're eating it, it tasted exactly the same as the Easter eggs.
Well, no. If you keep your eyes open, it tastes the same as the Easter eggs. It is the fucking Easter eggs.
Well, I didn't say that it would taste differently if your eyes are open. I'm just saying, like, if you keep your eyes closed, it tastes exactly the same. Which is true.
Get in the corner with the rest of us.
All right.
This has been another edition of WTR Sunday Night.
You don't want to know what my favorite Halloween candy really was? Because I lied about Mars bars.
What is your favorite Halloween candy, Tim?
It was that, like the like a sucker, but it's the toffee on a stick.
There you go. You didn't even know the name of it. Thank you.
Well, toffee on a stick, I don't know. Is there a name for it? I don't think so. Anyway, that said, yeah, we're wrapping up, everybody. Don't forget, tune in tomorrow night immediately following Raw for the Raw Post Show as Sir Rockin' and Lindsay Ward breaks down what happened on the first Raw after the pay-per-view.
We'll talk everything Raw Halloween on the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
Halloween? Moving on, Thursday nights, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack with your hostess, Lindsay Ward, and Rock tagging along because, like, he just can't let anybody have a spotlight.
The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll have the SmackDown Throwdown, the NXT Rundown, and so much more. We'll also talk Hell in a Cell. It's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Go to youtube.com/rackradioshow. Subscribe right now for 5 days of content from WWE 2K17, Mashup Monday, Redo Tuesdays, My Journey Wednesdays, Throwback Thursdays, and Fantasy Fridays, all available at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Go back and listen to last week's episode featuring the one and only Colt Cabana. Facebook.com/RackRadioShow, Twitter.com/RackRadioShow, and check out The Rack Extra Total Bella Season 1, Episode 4 now available. Episode 5 will be available, I guess, 10 hours before we actually do The Rack live, 10 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. Yeah, Sunday night to midnight-ish, or as close as they get to it. Another edition of CB Radio, where you don't even have to be an American to be patriotic and smack. Lay your vote down, or smack down your vote.
Yeah, Saturday nights, midnight-ish. Not Sunday nights.
Saturday nights.
Midnight-ish, CB Radio. Go to CBRadioLive.com, vote for the CB Radio Party election. Go back and listen to last night's episode, which will be up tomorrow. You can hear Matt from the chat, his first ever appearance on the show.
And boy, did he sound weird.
And we had the DP, hashtag DP, called the voicemail, and we just rip it to shits. So it's CB Radio Saturday Nights, Midnight-ish. The debate continues on. Go to CBRadioLive.com and vote. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies. And YouTube.com/CBRadioWTR to see Rob, Sub, Ace, and Jobber in WWE 2K17 battling it out for supremacy. Match 1 is now available.
And of course, next Sunday night, back to our regular time, 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern, another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Make sure you join us. Don't forget, the kids are out tomorrow night gathering up reasons for dentists to be able to vacation in Hawaii in the wintertime. If you're a person who has a car and you're driving around, keep your eyes open, drive a little bit slower, take it easy. If you're staying at home to hand out the goodies, be generous. Don't be a stingy little bugger. I mean, give them 2 candies, not 1. Smarten up. What's wrong with you?
And if you've got a bowl full of pennies ready, go fuck yourself.
Actually, when I was a little kid, my sister's grade 1 teacher lived, like, literally right around the corner from us. And we would, when we started trick-or-treating, make sure that we had her house in the middle of our rounds because she made hot dogs for all the kids in the neighborhood. That was awesome. She gave us hot dogs and Cokes. What better thing to consume than a sugar rush while you're in the middle of gathering a sugar rush?
You do Halloween weird in Canada.
That was like back in like, I'm not going to say when it was because it was that long ago, but it was a long time ago. That said, follow me, yours truly, Tim Stein, on the Twitter machines at Flames Forums. Do it. Just don't ask any questions. Just do it if you haven't done it yet. Check out the Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. Like one, join the other.
Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter.
Yeah, at Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter. I was getting there. WTR Sunday Night can be followed on the Twitters.
And the Facebook, same thing.
And the Facebook, same thing. I think we should let Omega do some plugs.
Oh, can I?
Yes, please.
Okay. So everything I do can be found under the name TJ Omega, unless you're the type to troll Facebook, in which case it is TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, however, it is tjomega.org, the archive for a bunch of exclusive videos. It is TJ Omega over on Twitter, where I talk random bullshit and share weird photos from my neighbors. Interesting Halloween decorations.
Tim would have fit right in.
I wasn't going to go there. Thank you, Rock.
And, I just ignore him when he does that shit.
And, of course, for all of the content I am constantly producing, it is TJ Omega over on YouTube, where, good God, I've been busy.
Also, go buy his stuff on eBay.
eBay's done pretty well. I need big spenders now for the rest of it.
If you have some money, go to eBay, search out, what's the name? No, I know you. It's like TJ Phoenix or something like that.
It's TJ _ Phoenix over on eBay.
It wasn't TJ Omega.
So you're the be-all, end-all that rises from the ashes on eBay?
Anyway, go buy his stuff on eBay.
I just gave him a brain sprain. Sorry. Buy his junk.
Buy his stuff on eBay. Support him and all that fun jazz. TJOmega.org. He's a prideful organization.
We're fixing that.
Nonpartisan. That's important, kids. He's nonpartisan.
Mike, plug. Go.
Also, for those of you, the WTR Oreo, I actually just posted my entry for the Austin Creed contest. So if you guys want for WWE 2K17, I'm going to post some more calls on Twitter, so, because I get bored sometimes and I do designs. So anybody, just add me and then you'll see some stuff. And if you need something for community creations, just hit me a DM and I think I can probably make a design, a logo for your character.
Hey, Mike, design something for me and send it.
Okay.
He doesn't have the game.
I know. I can send pictures out.
I just want the pictures.
Tights or trunks?
I don't think I'd look good in either one.
You're probably right. So we'll just put you in a suit.
I was thinking ankle-length jorts.
I was more thinking the bear suit. But anyway, send this home
to you.
Wrap us up now, Tim.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's time for somebody to go to bed and get some sleep. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next Sunday night. Have a great week.